As we've reported, Ski Utah, along with representatives from seven Utah resorts, announced a concept for One Wasatch. A press conference announcing that vision was held yesterday. In the studio to tell us more about it is Ski Utah President and CEO Nathan Rafferty. Good morning, Nathan.
Morning.
So in your words, what's the vision?
So pretty simply, the vision is to connect the seven ski areas in the central Wasatch, and it would all add up to, and via ski lifts and ski runs. And it would add up to over 18,000 acres and 100 lifts, over 750 name runs, and on all on one ski pass.
Yeah. So how many chairlifts are we talking about?
Well, we're really talking about three connections, and it could probably be done with six chairlifts or less. But the idea is that it's just three connections. So between Little and Big Cottonwood Canyon, between Big Cottonwood and Park City, and then between Park City and Canyon Resort, and then drop the rope between Deer Valley and Park City.
Yeah, so who would pay for all of this?
Well, they'd be individually funded. So it's important to know that all of the connections are on private land, and then depending on whose land it was and the chairlifts, where the chairlifts were, would be paid for by the individual resort. So let's say Alta would put in a chairlift, they'd pay for their side. Solitude would pay for theirs. Park City Mountain Resort with theirs, and so on.
Yeah. And any idea how much a ticket would cost? And I mean, many already can't afford the $70+ price tag at one resort.
Yeah. You know, it would need to be comparable to a day lift ticket. You know, the idea of pricing is a long ways off, but the concept wouldn't work if it was, so unaffordable as nobody would be able to use it.
Right. And how soon could something like this happen?
There's a lot of, even if it's on private land, there are still plenty of hoops to jump through. So there's public process in each of the connections and all the permits and processing. So it's a fair way off. I wouldn't expect it to happen this summer, but sooner than later, I think.
Yeah, certainly you'd need approval from, say, Summit County, Salt Lake County for the lift.
All the above. Yeah.
And since it's on private property, I mean, you wouldn't have to go through that federal forest or environmental impact statement process?
Right. If it were to happen on private land, the processes are a little different. There's still public process involved, but you wouldn't have to go through some of those processes that the Forest Service requires for public land.
Yeah. So after this whole ski-link proposal came out, you know, what we heard is we need to plan, that this was premature, the ski-link. And so I guess I don't understand why we're coming out with this One Wasatch vision prior to letting Mountain Accord do its jobs. I mean, you were certainly one of those who advocated for the comprehensive planning.
Yeah, and I'm on the executive committee for Mountain Accord, and the ski areas plan to be heavily involved with Mountain Accord. Still, we think that this helps that process, and there's no guessing what the vision for the ski areas would have. This puts more information on the table, allows people to ask more questions, and it's far from a done deal, and the idea of Mountain Accord is discussing options and ideas, and I think it just allows a greater focus on the process.
Yeah. So all the seven resorts agreed on is that it's something worth following through on. I mean, you haven't gotten to the devil in the details here yet.
No, and there are tons of details to work through. You know, everything from revenue sharing and it's a long, long list of details, but it's a major step to get all seven different ski area ownership groups and their general managers to sit in the same room and say, hey, this is a vision that we feel very strongly about and we want to see make happen. And they are highly motivated to see something like this happen.
Yeah. Why is this a good thing for Utah?
Well, it's not just about adding more acreage. It's about a new ski experience, a different kind of ski experience that we really don't see in North America. It's something you see in Europe, and it's just kind of a wandering through the Wasatch experience. You could ski from Park City Mountain Resort over to Snowbird and back in a day easily, and just take a different approach to skiing, and that we think people are really going to enjoy it.
Mm. And so who are those people? Because I preface this by saying, you know, in that Wasatch Canyon's Tomorrow process, I mean, we had more than 90% of people saying that they would prefer no resort expansions. Is this all about the tourists?
Well, and I don't think that number is correct, to be sure. There was a number in there that said 94% of people did not want to see any environmental degradation in any kind of building that took place, but there was not a number that said 94% of people didn't want to see resort expansion.
Still, that number is, it may not be 94%, but it's up there.
Yeah, absolutely.
So who's this for?
So this is for, you know, I think we get a ton of feedback, and we have already after launching this process for people who want to ski here, both locals and destination visitors alike.
Hmm. Do you have any research showing that connecting resorts will help increase skier days? I mean, is that what this is about?
Yeah, it's absolutely about increasing skier days, and that's what our job is at Ski Utah. And, you know, that research is pretty tough to come by, but what we do have are 7 resort general managers that have over almost 300 years of experience in the ski industry that think that there are skiers and snowboarders out there that might like an opportunity like this.
Yeah. Still, I mean, we have seen increased chairlifts and development at resorts across the country, and yet we haven't seen any corresponding increase in skier days. So what's to say that you're going to have more skier days?
Yeah, well,
you're
just
going to take them away from somewhere else.
Well, that number is nationwide. Nationwide, skier days are flat. In Utah, skier days are rapidly increasing. And that same, you know, we were hovering around the 3 million skier day mark around the Olympics just 10 years ago, and we're consistently over 4 million skier days today. The ski numbers in Park City have grown something like 35% over the last few years. It's increasing dramatically in that same Wasatch Canyon's Tomorrow study that you talked about. Calls for the increase in Big and Little Cottonwood Canyons to increase skier days there by 26% in just the next 15 years. So I don't think it's fair to say that skier days aren't increasing. And, you know, like any other business, you've got to continually improve your product if you hope to bring more business in the door.
Yeah. Well, and let's say that this does increase skier days. I mean, how is it then that we deal with the increased traffic and parking, which you know that if you're not at some resorts by 11 o'clock, there is no parking.
Right. And that's hopefully part of what Mountain Accord is trying to solve, which is having a more efficient ski experience. I skied on Saturday and skied over to Snowbird and back. I hopped on the Crescent Lift at Park City Mountain Resort at 9:30, and I was back at the Legacy Lodge having lunch at 1 o'clock. You know, there are some incredible efficiencies with having a 7 resort experience like this, and while it's not a transportation solution, I do think it can be helpful in that regard.
Yeah, but again, I mean, you agree that skier numbers are remaining pretty flat across the country.
Nationwide, they are flat. Yeah, but that's not the case in Utah.
Yeah. At the same time, we have seen, though, backcountry ski equipment sales growing at a much higher rate, and resort equipment nationwide, again, flat as skier days, indicating that more people are willing to spend their time and money to get into the backcountry. And I think for those people that choose to do that, they see this as very threatening. I mean, how do you respond to them?
And you know, that backcountry number is interesting, too. We're working with Wasatch Backcountry Alliance, and they're trying to put a survey together to figure out exactly how many people are in the backcountry. It's true what you say about backcountry equipment, and the sales of that equipment has risen dramatically. The interesting thing about that, though, is about 90% of those equipment users use it at the ski areas. You know, they don't often venture into the backcountry. There's an aspirational aspect to that. And you see a lot of people wearing backpacks and have bindings that release at the heels. And, you know, they don't often get into the backcountry. And most of that equipment is being used at the resorts.
Yeah. And you also saw, I'm sure, this letter that was on letterhead from the Winter Wildlands Alliance and the Wasatch Backcountry Alliance, signed by many exhibitors and participants in the outdoor retailer market, sent to Governor Gary Herbert, basically just saying, you know what, we've got a really nice balance here. And many not on board with this idea, in fact, even outright opposing it. I mean, what's your response to them? Are they being selfish and just want the greatest snow on earth for themselves? Or
You know, it's an emotional issue for sure, and I understand where they're coming from. Again, we think an experience where you can ski between seven skiers is one worth pursuing, and we've tried our very best to come up with the most efficient route and way to make that happen, and we think we've done that, only adding a limited number of acreage that you'd need to make this happen. And we also feel like preserving a backcountry experience in Utah is a really important one because it adds to the overall mix of what makes Utah a unique and attractive location to come visit for both locals and for destination guests. So I think you can still maintain that balance. There is, when you look at the total numbers of acreage that's available to go skiing, backcountry skiing, it's a staggering amount of acreage, especially when you compare it to how many acres are actually on national forest land. I think only 6,000 or so acres are dedicated to commercial skiing on national forest lands, and many tens and tens of thousands of acres of national forest land are dedicated as wilderness.
Yeah. So would all seven resorts then agree that if we do this, then that's it and that's enough and we don't need to continue to expand?
You know, right now we're focused on making this connection happen, and forever is a long time. So I think the skier is want to make sure this connection happens first and see where we go from there.
Okay, and what do we do about the snowboarders? Because we've got two resorts now that don't allow them.
You know, that's up to those individual resorts. We're focused on this connection and the One Wasatch concept, and I'd say we cross that bridge when we come to it, but ultimately those are going to be decisions made by the individual resorts.
Okay. Anything else you wanted to add, Nathan?
Just that more information can be found on onewasatch.com.
Okay. Hey, Nathan, thanks for your time.
Thank you.
That's Nathan Rafferty, President and CEO of Ski Utah.